You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. And we've turned the page here. We had weekly waiver wire with Eric Edholm yesterday of Pro Football Weekly there to break down the pickups of the week. But that's kind of our bridge show there in the as we continue with the experts edition of the program throughout the season, we turn our attention now to the week five games, and it's a matchup focus day. So that means Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus will join us later in the show to look at the most intriguing, potentially high scoring matchups of the weekend. And here we look at both sides of every game. If you're new to the show, that's what we do. We're to go deep diving into all these games to let you know what we're feeling, what situations to exploit, what situations to avoid there, and how we think these games are going to go based on matchups. And with 4 weeks in the books, we have a little bit of better clarity on where these teams are at, and we can use that sample size to our advantage here. And knowing some tendencies and trends that you really need to use to your advantage in fantasy. Now, we'll start here because we have a lot of games to get to. The Bucks and Bears are on a bye, so we still have 15 more games this week after the Redskins and Panthers. We're out for week four. They're back in action this week. We start with the Colts and Patriots. And Thursday night action, the Patriots are 10-point favorites, and they're 51.5 here. Now, the Colts are extremely shorthanded, looks like, for this game. T.Y. Hilton is going to be very much of a stretch to play. Jack Doyle looks like he's going to have to miss another week as well. So they've been mixing in other guys, Nyheim Hines out of the backfield, Zach Pascal, Chester Rogers, and Ryan Grant. But I think this is not a good thing for Eric Ebron necessarily without T.Y. Hilton, because Hilton and the threat of Hilton is going to open things up for Ebron. But now the Patriots are going to look at the film and see who's the most targeted receiver out there that Andrew Luck likes and try to take him away, especially with no running game. And I don't get a good feeling from Ebron in this game. I have him and I played him and I've had a good production success, obviously, with the 3 touchdowns in 4 games. But the Patriots are pretty tough against the tight end. That's the one position they cover pretty well with Patrick Chung out there. Typically, they're good in that position, and they can easily key in on Ebron. So I'm not feeling anything here in the Colts' offense. I think you look at Nyheim Hines maybe for some check down and garbage time, but we're not 100% sure about that. It's a crowded backfield, and Robert Turbin might be in the mix as well, coming back from suspension. So just really Colts not feeling it here. Now, with the Patriots, I'm not feeling too much here. I think they're going to try to shorten the game. It's a short week, so I expect a lot of running. And Rob Gronkowski doesn't look good for this game at all with an ankle. They say he was fine, but it's a short week, and he hasn't practiced early, so I could easily see him missing this game there for the Patriots and not being rushed out there if they feel like, as 10-point favorites, they can win this game pretty easily. We'll see if Jacob Hollister can play there to sub in. He's a better choice there than Dwayne Allen if you're reaching. But right now, with Julian Edelman coming back, I think that's what it lines up for, a big Edelman game. Josh Gordon I would be wary of because his Colts secondary can play pretty well on the outside. But on the inside, I think they can get carved up by Edelman here. And we don't know how much Gordon is going to get. I expect a very run-heavy game plan by the Patriots again. The way that Sonny Michel's going, the way they're blocking can get after it. A lot of James White in there as well. So really hard to trust right now. I think next game against the Chiefs, we'll see maybe some of the total wrath of this offense unleashed. So they're going to be a little bit careful and cautious here. Use this mini bye to their advantage and not trot too many people out there. So I would say I feel pretty good about the backs here, Michelle and White, at this point with the clarity there in the split. I think they're usable every week and their production is there. I think the receiving corps is wait and see. I think Chris Hogan is just going to go down more with the return of Edelman fighting for targets, even with Gronk out of the picture. And Gordon could see a little bit more run, but I need to wait and see. I think in the Chiefs game, we're going to see a little bit more. But Edelman is really the Patriots guy I feel comfortable with beyond the running backs and Tom Brady. In this one, the defense is a bit of a sleeper here. The Colts are giving up a lot of sacks. It's primetime bump as well. If you need to use the Patriots defense, you can look there. The next game we are going to look at here as we go to 1 p.m. Sunday is the New York Giants and Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers are comfortable favorites coming off a bye, 7 points. Not expected to be a high scoring game, 44.5. So medium range there. Now, the one thing about the Giants, giving up a ton of rushing yards. So I really love Christian McCaffrey, well rested, coming off a bye. Cam Newton, that's going to help him near the goal line as well. So Newton, McCaffrey, they're your everyday. Devin Funchess, I'm not crazy about. Remember, Michael Thomas was shut down by this Giants defense pretty easily. So I'm going to shift away from Funchess because I think a lot of Newton's damage is going to come on the ground this week. It's going to be a lot of running and not maybe too high volume passing, but that's going to hurt the receivers here. So Funchess is a guy I'm kind of cold on. Some people like him more as a wide receiver 3 week in, week out. But the Giants do have Janoris Jenkins. They might get Eli Apple back this week. So decent pass defense results. They just really stymied the Saints there last week. So that's something to keep in mind and kind of believe in that. And maybe Olivier Vernon will come in and help as well to rush the passer. So really good about Newton and McCaffrey from the rushing standpoint. For the Giants, Saquon Barkley is locked in. Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard. Shepard has been the man of late here with Evan Ingram out. And they're going dink and dunk and short. And Shepard is the guy that they use mainly for that with high volume. But at some point, they got to get Odell Beckham Jr. involved a little bit more. The secondary is a little bit vulnerable. I know James Bradbury has played pretty well when given the opportunity against Julio Jones and A.J. Green. But this can't really, they need to get Beckham going. They paid him a lot of money. Eli Manning, they can't be conservative with him as much as we've seen here. So I still see Shepard getting his as kind of the underneath safety valve, as well as Barkley with Ingram out. But if you're hanging in there with Beckham, I think it's going to come eventually. We thought it was going to come last week against the Saints. Well, let's hope that the Giants are a little bit more aggressive, at least get him the ball in space so he can do something, because we know with every touch and every target that he can take at the distance. So hang in there, and this Panther secondary is not exactly the most shutdown unit up front. They can really rattle Eli Manning, so I'm not going there. But hopeful for Shepard and Beckham to get things going here with what Barkley can do out of the backfield. Maybe that threat will open things up. And for the Panthers defense, they're going to get some sacks, get after it against Eli Manning. So got to like them at home, typically in a good spot. Now, our next game is the other New York team, the Jets, hosting the Broncos. And with the over-under in this one, it's pretty low, as you can imagine. And the Jets are actually favored in this one by one. I actually like the Jets in this game. Short week travel, cross-country, away from a home game for the Broncos. And Case Keenum not playing very well. I'm just fading a lot of the Broncos this week. If you need to in a deeper league, you got to play the running backs for sure. But other than that, can't recommend here much at all, because you look at the way they played on Monday night, disappointing against the Chiefs, a really bad defense. It's a pretty good defense on the road in the Jets. So I just fade everything in the Broncos as much as possible this week. And I think the Jets defense is a very strong and sneaky play this week. At home, they can create disruptions. Case Keenum is a pick six waiting to happen against New Jack City. So all that is available there too. And they'll get after him as well. He held the ball a lot against the Chiefs, and much lesser defense up front pressure. And I think it's kind of the left tackle there was really struggling, Bowles, as we mentioned in our Monday night recap. So as far as the Jets, not much pretty on that side either. I think Quincy Enunwa, you have to keep in mind that he's going to see quite a bit of Chris Harris Jr. probably in the slot. So that's going to be tough. So I would just pretty much sit all the Jets and Broncos I can in this one, including Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. Sanders, for now, getting some run is a play that you can make, but the Keenum struggles are real. And with the Jets, this can be a very ugly game. I think most scoring can be done through field goals and defense, and that's where I give the Jets the edge to here. Our next game we'll look at is the Baltimore Ravens and Cleveland Browns at 1 p.m. The Ravens are 3-point favorites on the road. 47.5 is the over-under. Now let's start with the Ravens side of things. Joe Flacco, John Brown, that connection is real. It's doing very well. Sticking with it. In terms of the backfield, you might be scared of Alex Collins, but if you look at Isaiah Crowell did against the Browns, Marshawn Lynch, hard runners, finishing runners. The fumble is an issue. Fumbling is an issue still there. They're making him work hard to do it, but the talent is just too much there. Buck Allen's not going to be running roughshod through this Browns defense. They need a hard runner there. It's a pretty good Browns defense overall, but they can give up some touchdowns. They're short and to some power guys, like we saw with Marshawn Lynch last week. So I think I would have a little bit more faith in Collins, maybe as a flex play more than RB2, but still a guy that you can look at. In terms of everyone else, Michael Crabtree and Willie Snead kind of splitting the difference at the moment. Tight end, you might have Hayden Hurst return, but we have to wait and see because there's a lot of other tight ends there that have been contributing before the rookie has returned from his foot injury. So we have to see. Again, Brown and Flacco in this passing game, that's where I'm going to more. And Flacco right now is a QB1 based on his scoring, so keep that in mind. The Ravens defense, rookie quarterback, you're going to play them even on the road. Played well against Pittsburgh on the road last week, so you're not afraid to keep the Ravens in lineup, but some really bad matchups coming ahead for the Ravens, so might be the last time you can use them for a while. From the Browns side of things, I would not play their defense. Tough game in Oakland. They did get some turnovers, but gave up too many points. The Ravens can light them up here as well. So I don't love the Browns defense this week. And Carlos Hyde, you're playing, hoping for the touchdown, but the Ravens can slow him down for sure. And Antonio Callaway, they're fading him. The one guy I kind of like here, Jarvis Landry, you're playing every week. I'm going to fade Mayfield there at home and probably have better options, and he'll have some really good matchups coming up. But David Njoku, I feel like it's getting close. The other tight end scored, Darren Fells. There was a good connection there. He's had steady increasing production every week. The insertion of Mayfield has helped. Antonio Callaway is going to be lessened. They're putting too much on him. So all signs are pointing to Njoku finally coming through, and I really think this is a good chance here. Tough guy to cover the way that Vance McDonald was last week in a good game, caught all his targets there against the Ravens. So if you've been waiting and hoping and seeing if he's worth anything, that's where Njoku turns the corner before a very good schedule going ahead. The next game I'll look at 1 p.m. is the Dolphins and the Bengals. And you look at this one, 6-point favorite, the Bengals, and not a surprise here. They're playing very well. They're 3-1. Dolphins are also 3-1, but we know which team is a lot better here. Bengals can mess up a game like this. We've seen it in the past, but it's 1 p.m. Eastern, so usually good things for Andy Dalton here. Keep in mind, this Dolphins secondary is pretty darn good with Xavien Howard and the rookie Minka Fitzpatrick. So it may not be as easy for Dalton. I think they should lean a little bit more on the run with Joe Mixon returning. So I wouldn't expect huge numbers, but I think he can get the 2 touchdowns easily against this Dolphins defense. If Derek Carr was able to do it with volume and do that, I think there's room for a good balanced offense to be successful for the Bengals. I just wouldn't go crazy. I look kind of like Tyler Boyd there in the middle. More a little bit with Howard possibly traveling with AJ Green this week. So AJ Green, I would cool off a little bit. As far as tight end, Tyler Kroft, we're all going to him, but CJ Uzuma is going to be involved, and I think they like Uzuma a little bit better. Croft might be the guy that they trust in more blocking situations, but and could be out there in the red zone, so that could be a little bit of a mess. But if you lost Tyler Eifert, Azumar Croft, we'll have to see in how one of those guys will produce this week. But there's a chance for both to get run, like I said, with the Dolphins. Strength there in the secondary, they might have to go away from Green, and that could help those guys. And those are the guys who can help Dalton produce. If you've got Mixon and he's returning action, you got to feel good about him. I know Gio Bernard has had a good game against this Dolphins team before, but I'm not buying into that they're going to just make this a committee because Bernard played well while Mixon's out. Mixon's a special talent. He's been on the shelf here with the knee injury. They want to use him well, and he can just run all over the Dolphins. So I like him. Don't hesitate if he's back. Play him, and he's good to go. Our next game we'll look at is the Jaguars and Chiefs. And we'll get Jeff Ratcliffe to talk about some more high-scoring games here after this. But this one is an interesting game in terms of defense meeting offense. And but it actually could be the flip side of things here as well with the Jaguars offense really having a nice advantage here overall. I don't think that's being talked about enough here that the Jaguars offense is playing really well. And without Leonard Fournette, they seem a little less handcuffed there in terms of they're not force feeding the run. They open things up all of a sudden, and we see the results of Blake Bortles. And this defense was really bad for the Chiefs. They also don't tackle, so a lot of good run-after-catch guys that they have as well. Now, people have been waiting for Keelan Cole to get going, but I think of Dante Moncrief. He's the good finisher. D.D. Westbrook is the slot guy who can do some damage here. So Keelan Cole is never going to be the go-to guy because Moncrief and Westbrook, the talent is pretty even between these three guys. So they're going to spread it around between those guys. And Moncrief's presence really hurts Austin Seferian Jenkins because he's a big target as well as a guy who can stretch the field. And he can cut into some of Cole's work that way. Westbrook can cut in as a possession guy coming out of the slot in that way. So that tells me I like to take more chances on Westbrook and Moncrief on the cheap this week if you're in a DFS. But in the season long, I like Westbrook to keep it going here. Cole is the outside threat. Not necessarily going to get it to him. I think the Patriots game was a bit of a buzz there and what they did, but I really love TJ Yeldon this game. So Moncrief is a little deeper play there. I think Westbrook and Cole are definitely in the mix as wide receiver threes this week to see what they can do against this team. But Yeldon, I think, is locked in as an RB1, and he's been borderline RB1 without Fournette in there. So keep that in mind. He's been fantastic as a runner and receiver. And Jaguars are not going to really miss Fournette if that happens here more and more. So that's something we definitely look at there. And Blake Bortles, the keys to his offense are going to be good. Now, the Jaguars defense, if you've got a better alternative and you can afford the roster space, you probably drafted the Jaguars early and you want them as your every week play for the most part, minus a bye, then you'd look maybe elsewhere. But I'm going to stick with the Jaguars because I think this is defense. They play the zone. They trust their pass rush to get home. They're going to try to contain Mahomes in the pocket. So I could see some Mahomes turnovers in this game. I think he'll still be productive, and I don't bench Mahomes by any means now. He's too hot right now. So I think people jumping to jump the gun to bench the Jaguars defense, I wouldn't do that. And I also wouldn't go crazy and bench Mahomes either. There's no way you're doing that with a hot start. Because I think they'll meet in the middle. There's room for production in both ways. Because you're looking for just basically sacks and turnovers. And you can get sacks and turnovers from a team while they're still producing and doing some things. So I actually like the Jaguars to win this game. When you look at the Chiefs on the other side, yes, no Sammy Watkins. Tyreek Hill could be bottled up here. Whether it's AJ Bouye or Jalen Ramsey. It's something to keep in mind. You're still playing Tyreek Hill, but in DFS, I don't think you can go there this week. Because quiet game against Denver, got a lot of the attention. And no Watkins potentially here, hurt again. That changes the way teams can look at this offense for sure. Because he's such a key playmaker that changes things for Hill, draws the attention away. So that changes things a lot. I think Travis Kelce, I feel pretty good about in any matchup because he's so involved. He can get those flip passes and score. Kareem Hunt as well. So it could be more of the Kelce Hunt thing with the Alex Smith last year with Mahomes stepping in this particular game. So be wary of that here for the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense, no, you're not messing with it at all. It's bad. I know the Jaguars can make some mistakes, but not in this one, folks, at all. Now, ever since I started doing this podcast and started talking about games and breaking them down more and building on what I do with the sporting news picks there, people have been asking, who do I like to win in a particular week? But that's only one part of the formula and being a winning better. The other part is going to a winning website to make your wagers. And I can't say enough about MyBookie. You can check the reviews online. They're all excellent. They've been in this business for a long time. They have rewarding player perks for anyone who goes to the site and wagers. So MyBookie is making it a comfortable space for you to get in on the action here in this NFL season. And they've got some great, easy stuff there for you, including live in-game betting, a mobile site that's easy to use. And best of all, they're offering a special discount to you, the Locked On Fantasy Football listener. And listen up, that's really a busy, busy time there. New bettors are coming to the site every day there at MyBookie. But if you wait to deposit after dinner, take your time, see what you want to do, look at the games, and say, I'm going to give this a shot. You wait till after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they're going to give you a special bonus there, $25 up to there with your deposit of at least $100 there. So you look at that and take advantage of that. Use promo code LOCKEDON25. And that's on top of the special deal they have going on that they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000 there with your first one there in MyBookie. So when you go in there and do it a little later, you're going to get some extra cash there and use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to take advantage of that. And MyBookie, you just won't find an easier, better site to go make your bets. And when you play there, you know one thing. You win, and you're going to get paid by MyBookie. So MyBookie, check it out. Promo code LOCKEDON25. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus for a look at the four biggest matchups of the week. Joining me now, as he always does on Wednesday for Matchup Focused, is Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. We got four big games to talk about, and Jeff's going to help us break them down. How's it going, Jeff?
Very good. You know, it's that time of year. I'm in the northeast of the United States, so the weather's starting to change, and the football landscape always starts to change in October. It's a little bit different than what we see in September, so I'm excited here for week five.
Yeah, I know Pro Football Focus and all you guys there do a great job, but I know in the industry, as they say, 4 weeks is a nice little reset time to kind of understand what these teams are doing a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Things do change because the weather gets colder in most parts of the country, right? So that changes the brand of football that we see a little bit. I mean, we've seen this offensive explosion over the first 4 weeks of the season, which is exactly what the NFL wants to see. But does it continue along this pace? I can't imagine some of these offenses just continue to put up points week in, week out. But, you know, of course, we'll see that here in October.
Yeah, and a lot of over 50-point over-unders this week just continues. I think it will continue a little bit as we have some unseasonably comfortable temperatures here still in October. But when you look at it, the weather's not going to affect this game. The Packers and Lions, we have 51 as the over-under. The Packers are a slight favorite here, a point and a half. So we're expecting some good pointage on both sides here on this game. So let's start with the Packers. Now, I think everyone's probably going to get giddy about Aaron Jones. There's been a lot of people unleash Aaron Jones, no more Jamal Williams. I can't see a better spot here for Aaron Jones to really establish himself.
Yeah, I agree to that extent, but I also know what we've seen so far. We've seen a full-blown committee in that backfield. The Packers seem reluctant to move on from using Jamal Williams in that backfield. I mean, last week, 11 carries for each of these guys. Jones was clearly the more explosive player. Jones was the player who got the essentially the goal line carry inside the 5 yard line, right? That was a 3 yard touchdown run for him. But as much as I want to believe that it's just going to be Jones and that makes the most sense, I'm not going to believe it until I fully see it. So for fantasy purposes, I think we just pump the brakes a little bit. Obviously, you want him on your roster, but if you're expecting him to just simply go out and explode, I it could happen, but I'm not going to bank on it.
Well, another guy that we want to see get more involved in, shocking breaking news, Davante Adams didn't score a touchdown last week, and that's just got to frustrate some fantasy owners, especially given his high target volume against the Bills. But I think there's a hint there. I think they looked at him and Tre'Davious White, they moved him away as much as they could, but Aaron Rodgers still complained about that. This week it's Darius Big Play Slay, some injuries there potentially with John Mallison having a concussion, and Randall Cobb with the hamstring. Now, do you think there'll be an overcorrection here to get Adams totally involved and maybe dominate this game?
Well, I mean, he did see 12 targets in that contest, and what we saw was Trey White was shadowing on the outside. So if they put him in the slot, if they put Adams in the slot, you didn't see Tre'Davious on him, but pretty much every other spot on the field, you know, on the outside, he was there. But the effort has been there. Now, you mentioned Allison, 10 targets in that contest. If he doesn't play, now we're talking bare bones. Now, the Packers, of course, did draft those three rookies, and Valdez-Scantling would be the next man up. But even though he ran 80% of the routes this past week, only 3 targets for him. So I don't know if he's necessarily on the same page. I mean, we could see a lot of Jimmy Graham and a lot of Davante Adams if Allison is out. I don't expect Cobb to play, by the way. He said he was pretty far away from playing this past week, so that doesn't bode well for him getting on the field this week.
Now, on the Lions side of things, it looked good for Kerryon Johnson early in that game, and he scored a touchdown against the Cowboys. But then, in typical Lions fashion, they got a little pass-heavy, which was okay if you were a Golden Tate or Matthew Stafford owner. That worked out well here. But what I'm looking at with the Lions is Kerryon Johnson. Are they finally going to say, we need to get this guy more involved? Because I know the Packers' run defense might be a little misleading with the numbers against it.
I think this is the same scenario, though, as the Packers, where, you know, we want Kerryon Johnson to be 15 to 20 carries a game, but the Packers are going to the Lions are going to continue to use LeGarrette Blount. They gave him 7 carries. Now, he was only on the field for 13 snaps, 7 carries, 9 carries for Kerryon Johnson. We know that Theo Riddick is going to continue to be involved in the passing game, so there's not a lot of meat on the bone there for Johnson. So he's a boomer bust upside play. But I'm not expecting, at least here in the short term, to see him all of a sudden bump up to a 15 to 20 per week automatic type running back. Love his upside, though. Love the fact that he got in the end zone. But LeGarrette Blount's presence there is just going to put a cap on his fantasy value.
Now, when you look at Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay, this is an interesting situation. This is the reason why a lot of people faded Jones, and it's come to fruition a little bit here with Golladay taking a lot of those outside targets away from him. Is Jones a guy that now we're not looking at necessarily to start every week with Golladay maybe stepping into that role?
I think last week was more fade Jones because he was going up against Byron Jones, who's been playing very well. I still think that the way this team uses their wide receivers, we have to consider all 3 viable fantasy starters every single week. Marvin Jones was out there basically 100% of the snaps, or 100% of the pass routes, I should say. Same with Kenny Golladay, 85% of the pass routes for Golden Tate. And this is something that really needs to be said. With Golden Tate, so far this season, out of all the receivers who've seen at least 30 targets, there are only 2 who have not been targeted in the end zone, and Golden Tate is one of them. That means touchdown regression is coming. You can't expect him to score long touchdowns every week. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. So if you expect what you got last week going forward, I think there are going to be some disappointed Golden Tate owners from week to week.
Now, our next game that we're talking about, 2 desperate teams here. They need to get going here or they're going to lose their playoff chances. The Falcons and Steelers. And this over-under, I thought it could hit 60. It's at 57, so it's still pretty darn good. And only a 3-point favorite swing there for the Steelers. Well, we know that with these 2 teams, with their pass defenses and middle of the field and outside, you want to get all those guys involved. But what I want to focus on here is the backfields. And we'll start with the Falcons. Tevin Coleman, I think people expected this big, big thing when Devonta Freeman's hurt. I'm not sure if he's going to be ready with that knee. It could be very iffy. But Ito Smith stepped in there, and that was productive. Now, I know Smith is a good longer-term keeper with as the potential Coleman replacement, but is he a guy that we have to look at more viably, and are they going to get Coleman more involved in this particular game?
I might think of Smith more as the Freeman replacement. He's a more similar player to Freeman than he is to Coleman, but ultimately, you know, that's maybe moot because we know that the backfield is going to be a two-back backfield. That's what the Falcons like to do, and Smith has a role in that in the future. If you're in deeper leagues right now, it is worth hanging on to him if you picked him up, just because any injury here opens up opportunities. Now, with Coleman, I know there's lofty expectations, but we've seen consistently that this team, they're not going to give him 30 touches when Freeman's out, but they will give him about 17 to 20, and he had 17 this past week. It was just, maybe not the most favorable game script for him. Another weird game. I think they were over the over by halftime. You know, that's always a strange occurrence there, but either way, he's still at least an RB2 given that volume. So if Freeman doesn't make it back on the field, I'm still comfortable with starting him there.
Well, another frustrating guy a little bit for fantasy owners. They thought, okay, we're golden here with that Le'Veon Bell. James Conner looks like plug and play. We're good to go. But last 2 weeks, it's been a grind. And then the Steelers have kind of just forgotten about running him. And I think he's a guy that one of those backs that you have to give work so you can wear down defenses later. That's not happened with some of the way these game scripts have gone for the Steelers. But and it's funny that the Le'Veon Bell could return the team there in week 7. News came about at the same time. Now, is Connor a guy that you feel great about in this matchup, especially because it could get away from the Steelers again?
Well, you can run on that defense, but I don't feel great about him just based on what I've seen over the last 3 weeks, really, not even just the last two with the numbers, but the play is really the key here. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't provide to that offense what Le'Veon does. And at least we have that somewhat sense of clarity with Le'Veon Bell when he'll be back on the field. But if you have James Conner, you can't really feel too confident starting him any week. And you mentioned game script has just been brutal. I don't think their pass defense is going to do them any justice in this one either. So it could be another one of those kind of crazy game scripts that just doesn't favor the run game.
The bottom line is in this game, get in all your passing game.
Yeah.
Anything you can, including maybe Mohamed Sanu coming off a hot week and facing a Steelers defense that still could be without Mike Hilton there in the slot. So that could be a guy to watch there as well. We look at another game that should have a lot of points, the Raiders and Chargers. And we'll start with the Raiders offense. I think I look at it and I'm saying this is what we want to see almost every week. Everyone getting involved, spreading them around and not having too many people involved where it's too thin here. But do you look at this continuing here with Derek Carr? I think he's finally found a groove with Jordy Nelson, and that's kind of opened things up as they moved him into the slot.
Yeah, that has helped. What has hurt is his receivers dropped 8 passes last week. So Carr throws for 437 with 8 drops. It could have been a much bigger day for him. It's nice to see him show signs of life. What I like about Carr this past week is he threw to the end zone 5 times, converted 3 of those for touchdowns. The more shots you take to the end zone, the more chances you have to score touchdowns. I mean, it's the antithesis of somebody like Russell Wilson, who didn't throw to the end zone at all last week, and we know how that worked out for fantasy purposes. So that's good. Jared Cook being a very viable tight end receiving option for them, that really opens up things. And then, I mean, let's just face it, Marshawn Lynch still playing good football, still running hard, still, you know, didn't do a good job as a receiver last week, dropped 2 of those passes for Carr. But as a runner, I mean, this is what we wanted to see last year. We didn't really get it with him to 20 carries. He got that last week. He ripped off the long run, and that opens things up for this offense.
Now, when you look at the Chargers here, they seem to get it done with different guys here every week. Melvin Gordon is the staple with what they want to do week in and week out, obviously. But when you look at the Chargers, when you look at their passing game, Mike Williams is a guy we want to trust more and more. I think he was a little bit disappointing last week. Do you think this is a good chance for both Allen and Williams to go off in this one?
Yes, there certainly is that chance. Yeah, he was very disappointing in what seemed to set up as a really favorable game for both Allen and Williams, just the three targets for Williams. I think that's going to be a lot of what we'll expect to see throughout the course of the year. And he was the clear number three in that one. Tyrell Williams ran 93% of routes. Mike Williams just 65%. So that's not trending in the right direction. Either way, though, you mentioned Melvin Gordon. The way that they're using him, they're getting the ball in his hands as a receiver. He's getting the job done as a runner, which he isn't always the most efficient. Last week, though, showed that, you know, he can put up some big numbers, you know, even on 15 carries, goes up over 100 yards. So like that for sure. But regarding those receivers in this contest, maybe we get another like high scoring game like Oakland we saw out of Oakland last week. And that does bode well for Phil Rivers in the passing game.
Yeah, we expect to see that be a fun one again. Always good to have those go off in the 405 window with a lot of points. And then now we'll flip to Monday night football here with the Redskins and Saints. 52.5 is the over under. The Saints are favored by 6.5 points here. 201 is the number we're looking for Drew Brees for the all-time passing record. But, of course, fantasy owners want a lot more than that this week. Drew Brees looked a lot like the 2017 Saints a little bit last week against the Giants, playing defense, running the ball. Now Mark Ingram returns. Do you think that's a little bit of concern if you're a Drew Brees owner that you're not going to get maybe the passing volume you did?
Not necessarily. I think the concern that we ultimately had there was the fact that this is a team on the road, and we know that Drew Brees notoriously outdoors on the road isn't the same quarterback. But I just mentioned those end zone throws, and this is something I pointed out about Andrew Luck in week three. I said, hey, Andrew Luck threw to the end zone 6 times in week three, only converted one for a touchdown, but that's a positive sign. Then we see Andrew Luck go off this week. Drew Brees had 4 throws to the end zone last week. He didn't convert any of them, but he was taking shots to the end zone. Eventually those do convert. And I don't think we're going to see too many games where Michael Thomas has just 4 targets, 4 catches. You know, he's going to be much more involved in most weeks. So I'm not too worried about it. In fact, having Mark Ingram back really opens things up a little bit more for this offense, because now you really get very different looks with Ingram and Kamara as both runners and receivers out of the backfield. They do very different things, so that keeps the defense on their toes.
Now, the Saints, one thing I've noticed is they've struggled with teams that like to throw the ball downfield deep, and we know the Redskins with Alex Smith is not necessarily a team that does that. Would you look at Alex Smith in this game? I know Paul Richardson made a big play in the previous game, and I don't know if they're going to get this offense, especially the passing game, more streamlined to be effective here with Smith. What do you expect kind of the Redskins coming out of the bye?
I expect them to try and lean on Adrian Peterson, which is what they've really tried to do for most of this season. We know he had the big game against Green Bay. Of course, they also have the added benefit of being able to use Chris Thompson out of the backfield. But you mentioned this passing game. I mean, outside of Jordan Reed, you really don't – there's not much there that really inspires you. Paul Richardson, sure, he has upside, but what is he going to see in terms of target volume? Jamison Crowder, even he hasn't really hit the ground running this year. Josh Doctson hasn't been the player that we had hoped he was going to be. So that does give you some cause for concern with this offense as a whole, plus the fact that – you know, you have 2 big play guys there in Richardson and Doctson, and you have a quarterback who notoriously does not push the ball downfield. So not all of that adds up very well for this team. A lot of folks had hope for Alex Smith as to being a potential, you know, sort of sneaky quarterback one this year after last year's numbers, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Now, Peterson, do you expect this to continue for a while? I don't know if you want to play into too much with the revenge game narrative with things that happened with Sean Payton early last season. But he's a guy like – I think this is a good thing that they had the bye early, because I think that keeps him refreshed here at least for another month or so.
That is true. I also am I'm from the mindset that every NFL game is a revenge game in some way, shape, or form in modern free agency era. There's always a connection that you can make. So I don't really buy into that one, but I do buy into the fact that Peterson is running hard. He has a very good offensive line, an offensive line that was not healthy last year and is healthy so far this year, creating holes for him. And what you love to hear as well, he goes out in week three, puts up 120 on 19, and said, I probably left about 40 plus yards on the field. So he's going to want to get those yards for sure. And I do like him, surprisingly enough, going forward, at least in the short term.
Well, Jeff, thanks a lot again for joining us and breaking down those four big games there for this week. What's going on at Pro Football Focus that people should be looking at?
You know, lots of good stuff, but I really got to point out on Fridays, every Friday morning we release a column called the Fantasy Football Focus. And, of course, it's your sort of one-stop shop, everything you need to know to set your lineups. And the best part is it's a free column, so you don't have to be a subscriber. So profootballfocus.com on Fridays.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week for Matchup Focused.
Thanks, Benny.
Thanks again to Jeff for joining us and giving us all that great info. And we went through some pretty good games there with some nice point totals and some good chances for fantasy football. And there's a lot of excitement in those games, and you probably are looking at going to one of those games if you live in those home cities. And if you're looking for the best deal on tickets and the easiest way to shop and find exactly what you're looking for there and be good to go on game day, then you got to go to Vivid Seats. It could be an NFL game, another sporting event, a concert, a musical, a play, it doesn't matter. Vivid Seats, you're going to get the greatest price that you can find out there. And it is the premier online ticket marketplace. And it's so easy to use. You can use the Vivid Seat app. You can sort, find the section and row of your choice pretty easily, know where you're sitting, the view, and all that. So it is just very comprehensive, and you're going to be very satisfied with the tickets you get there. And there's a special offer for you again, the Locked On Fantasy Football listener. For first time customer to Vivid Seats, you can use the promo code Locked On to get $20 off orders of $200 or more. So great first time deal there to get into Vivid Seats, and once you go there, you'll want to keep buying your tickets from there going forward. So that's the bonus. You'll get a chance to check it out, save some money, and know that this is the best way to go for your tickets at Vivid Seats. And you can do that by going to vividseats.com or downloading the app from the App Store or Google Play. And every purchase there at Vivid Seats is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. So you're good to go. You're going to save money. You know the money is well spent. That's with Vivid Seats. So use that promo code Locked On for that $20 off your first purchase there of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and do it with Vivid Seats at a special event of your choice. Now, we'll be right back to wrap up the rest of the games here on the Week 5 schedule. Now, we talked about the biggest game there. We have still a few more things to look at the games of the week in the afternoon and the evening. And we'll start with continue with the Titans and Bills. And you look at this one, low scoring, 39 over under. I think it could be pretty close. The Titans are only slight favorites here, 3-1, 3.5, but I kind of like the Titans here to really do well. Their defense is built to really go after the Bills, and with their pass rush and their running game can really break out this week. So Marcus Mariota, I'm not going to go totally on bonkers on. I think the game flow is not going to be favorite. I think the Titans still want to run defense and play the run. So I think that's what you're going to see a lot of. Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry, I think, can finally do the thunder lightning that we've been looking for from this backfield in this particular matchup. I think it's going to come to fruition here. If you've been waiting for Henry, this is a primo game for him to hit on a long run against a worn down defense late, while Lewis gets involved consistently early in the passing game as well to really wear down the Bills. And So I see a very approach where they're going to be playing from ahead and probably in good position here. The Bills are going to make it interesting late, but I see that the Titans running game is going to take control here. And so that's where I'm going. Tywan Taylor, I'm going to fade a little bit. And Corey Davis is probably going to get Tre'Davious White. So don't go chasing the box score from last week against Philadelphia. This Bills secondary is a lot better. They're more vulnerable against the run. The Titans want to make this a little ugly game because that's how they can win. And Mike Vrabel is going to know that and go in. So keep that in mind. The Titans defense, excellent play this week. Number one play out there is a streamer for sure. Again, the sacks and turnovers with Josh Allen are going to be there against a very limited running team. And Titans should literally tee off in this game. Now you look at the Bills, nothing there. That was done. We're done with that game. With the Bills, just nothing. Nothing to see here. And it's just going to get worse for this team in these type of matchups. That Vikings game was more of a fluke than anything else. Now we continue at the 4:25 p.m. window. We have a few marquee games there to look at, but we look at the Rams and Seahawks. And with this one, it's all Rams again. Seahawks had lost Earl Thomas. That's a big loss there in the defense. So Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks, they're starting every week. This offense is too good, along with Todd Gurley. These are the four fearsome foursome, the new fearsome foursome of the Rams. Not to be confused with that great defensive line of the past with Merlin Olsen, but this is the new fearsome foursome part two here. And just on the offensive side, Jared Goff, the controls, you can easily start him as well if you need to with no Thomas in there. Seahawks secondary is pretty good still. Bradley McDougal, their corners are playing well. Trey Flowers and Justin Coleman and the guys that they have left. But overall, this is the Rams offense. They're not really fazed by anyone. We thought they had a tough secondary against the Vikings last week. Zone defense, similar situation, ripped them to shreds here. So I don't see that being an issue with the Rams at all this week. Seahawks at home, got to fade everything. I don't trust who the running back's going to be with Mike Davis in the mix, Chris Carson hurting, Rashad Penny is the wild card, and Russ Wilson's not running. I just don't like anything here. Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, sit it all down, and the defense as well. And the next game we go to is the Vikings and Eagles. This is a 45-pointer. Actually, the Rams and Seahawks is a higher scoring game than this one, which is surprising at 51, but here at 45 with the over-under, the Eagles are slightly favored. I kind of like a little bit more offense in this game than we expect, but I think the problem for the Vikings is going to be it's Diggs and Thielen, pretty much it. Now, Kirk Cousins could have a decent day. I think he'll get those guys their digits, but when you look overall, it's a bad matchup up front for Kirk Cousins. He's not going to sit back and throw for 400. I know he shot past 400 against the Rams. The Eagles just almost gave up 400 to Marcus Mariota, but I just don't love Cousins' matchup. It could be pretty ugly with the turnovers and really limit his production, kind of like what we saw in week one, except the Eagles are a better defense up front than the 49ers are. So I think Diggs and Thielen, yeah, you're in. Kyle Rudolph, if I can find an alternative, it's hard at tight end now. I think I would try to go in a different direction there. Vikings defense, I just don't trust them on the road either, the way they're playing at this point. So a lot of things we expected from Vikings not happening there. On the Eagles side of things, I think Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz have to be locked into your lineup in most reasonable size leagues. Carson Wentz, if you want to go a little away from that, I think the Vikings will start to play better. So Jeffrey and Ertz are the two guys now. With the backfield hurting, hard to trust J.H.I. or anything there, and Wentz still at 100%, taking a lot of lumps there still. So those are my two plays for the Eagles in this one because they can be the guys that can work and beat that zone. We got two more games left that we haven't talked about. Staying in that 4:25 window in the NFC, it's the Cardinals and 49ers. 41 is the over-under, 4.5 favorites for the 49ers. A lot of dinking and dunking and running for the 49ers will happen. I really want to trust Alfred Morris in this one, but he's very TD dependent. I think it's what's going to come down to against the Cardinals. And Matt Breida, let's hope he's healthy to take advantage of this, because this could be a game, big game for Breida. So I expect a good split between Breida and Morris. Still a lot more Breida. Morris maybe with the scoring opportunity there. But it's hard to tell. George Kittle is locked in now with C.J. Beathard. Doesn't matter. He's been quarterback-proof in this offense. That connection with Beathard certainly helps. So feel good about him. Everything else, I'm just not feeling it at all, because it's a dink-and-dunk offense. Marquise Goodwin's banged up. Dante Pettis is not playing. They don't really have field stretchers. Pierre Garçon just looks old and slow at this point. So to me, the 49ers is all about the backs and Kittle, and very conservative there with Beathard. So Beathard had a nice game there, very usable if you really need him in a 2QB league or very deep league. But just can't see it being a high-volume passing game for the 49ers against a pretty weak offense on the other side. I think for the Cardinals, David Johnson's all I'm looking at. I know Christian Kirk has got some buzz, but Chad Williams is the one who got the touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald hasn't done much. So I'm looking at David Johnson, Ricky Seals-Jones. So running backs and tight ends in this game are the way to look. And defense, I think you might be tempted by the 49ers. I'm not going to go that way. I just don't think with their secondary injuries that they have enough to make plays there on Josh Rosen. So running back, tight end game for sure. And that has a little bit of feel for the Cowboys, running back, tight end, as they play the Texans, their final game there on Sunday night. We already talked about Monday night, Redskins Saints with Jeff. But we look at Cowboys and Texans there. It's a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Texans. I actually like the Cowboys in this one. Cowboys are getting David Irving back, and this is just a nasty defensive front going against an awful, awful Texans offensive line. So the Cowboys are going to have their way up front on both sides of the ball. Really love Ezekiel to keep it going. Jeff Swaim is a very sneaky tournament play as a tight end here. Did score last week, came through. I think the Texans just can't cover the tight end. And Swaim is getting more trust from Dak Prescott as maybe the receiver that you can look at to have some run here. The rest is just not trustworthy here for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, you're not going to force him in the lineup with a lot of other good options. That's for sure. But a lot of Elliott should feel good. Swaim is a deep league sleeper. And the defense is going to come through for the Cowboys with some sacks there. That doesn't say that Deshaun Watson is not going to have a good game here, because he runs around, does his thing, and that produces. And that's what we see from Watson on a week-in, week-out basis. Keep in mind, he's probably going to have Will Fuller out in this game with a hamstring. We'll see if he can play. Fuller's presence there will absolutely help, because the Cowboys' secondary is pretty good. Byron Jones and a lot of guys making plays. So I really like DeAndre Hopkins, of course, every week. And Watson, Hopkins, no-brainer. You're going with them. So you're going to have to throw so much, I think, in this game there, because I think the Cowboys are going to control it. And the Texans really don't have a running game. And Watson's going to run around and produce as well. So I think he can make some plays to make this interesting there. But Kiki Kuti, if you need to go there with, if you're Will Fuller owner and you need a replacement, he was very productive right away. And this team pretty much throws to two receivers if the things go down here with Watson. So it's a two-receiver team that doesn't use a tight end, and the back is struggling. So Kuti, in that sense, in terms of limited options, has to be in your lineup, especially if you're a Fuller owner looking for a replacement. You have better alternatives if you're a non-Fuller owner, but that's where you have to look at it in this game. The Texans' defense, just be a little wary. The Cowboys can run and control the ball, and they can go back to not turning it over. This defense is not very good, and this offensive line is better than you think. So I'm not necessarily going to look at the Texans' defense as much as other people. I really like the Cowboys instead. Yeah, it's a road game, but it's a road game in state, indoors, and not an intimidating place to play. And a lot of Cowboys fans are going to be there. So that's where I look at there with the Cowboys' D. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of your week 5 action across the board, both sides of every game, and really getting a good comprehensive look there, focusing on those 4 games with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. Tomorrow also from Pro Football Focus, we'll have Tyler Lochner to help us with some DFS lineup calls there for FanDuel and DraftKings, some value plays and stacks and things like that, all that good stuff there. So tune into tomorrow's show to put a bow on the week, as well as some injury update news, as we'll have going in to the weekend. So hope you got a good breakdown there of all those games. And thanks again for Jeff for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Locked On Fantasy Football.